It's BBC Byroid Courtside.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von VFM, deinem Versicherungsmakler. vfm-liebig.de.
Hallo Bayreuther Basketballfans und herzlich willkommen aus den Räumen der Bayreuther Sonntagszeitung zu Folge 9 von BBC Bayreuth Courtside. Heute habe ich einen Gast, den wir auch nächste Saison auf dem Parkett der Oberfrankenhalle sehen werden, denn er hat frühzeitig seinen Vertrag verlängert. Welcome to the podcast, Terry Horn.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Before we jump into our conversation, there's one thing we have to define once and for all. It's not Terry, it's not Terry, it's Terry, right?
Yeah, it's Terry. Yeah,
so Terry. Your parents just wanted to be a little bit creative when spelling your name.
Yeah, all my sisters' names are spelled kind of funny too, with two E's. And so I think they just wanted to be different and unique.
Did you, was it complicated sometimes in your life when you said, hey, I'm Terry, and somebody had to write down your name?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I don't think it's probably only a couple people that's ever said my name right on the first time. So most people don't say my name right and don't know how to say it, but it's okay.
That's why I wanted to define it right now for everyone listening.
Yeah, for sure.
You have decided to extend your contract here in Bayreuth for another year, and you're actually the first American in a long time to do so. Everyone I've talked to and all the comments on social media were only positive about the decision. So apparently it was a no-brainer for the organization. How was it for you?
The fans have been great for me. I love the city here. I've been able to learn a lot from my coaches. I like my teammates. So it was a, really easy decision for me. And I'm really just thankful to the entire organization for being so patient with me and willing to have me back for next year.
But take me to the process. It's like somebody is approaching you during the season, because it was quite early, like in January, to make a decision like that. So you were actually satisfied, happy being here. And then someone came say, Terry, hey, we really want to see you another year.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know how the process, me being this is my first year playing professionally, so I wasn't 100% sure about how the whole process worked. And when coach asked to have a meeting with me to discuss our future, and he told me that he was interested in having me back and stuff like that. So my process was just to talk to my agent and see what he thought. And obviously I was happy with it because I, enjoy playing here. And then when my agent basically was like, it was he supported the decision and felt like it was a good move for me. So I felt like it was a no-brainer for me too.
That's great to hear. So let's get two or three steps back. You're from Toledo, Ohio. How was it growing up there, and when did basketball become a part of your life?
Toledo, it was great for me. I love where I'm from. I got a lot of core memories there. I would say I fell in love with basketball at a pretty early age. My father introduced me to the game when I was four or five, around there.
Was he a player by himself? Or?
He did. He played in high school. He didn't play past that, but he's been a big fan. He's been going to games longer than I've been alive. So I think I was kind of his prototype. when I first started playing, I wasn't any good, and I didn't score the whole first, I think year I played when I was a kid. So I hated it and I quit. And then my dad kind of was telling me that I had to practice and get better so that I would score and I could help the team win and stuff like that. And so my dad, he started taking me to the gym and teaching me how to shoot layup, how to dribble and stuff like that. And I came back, he convinced me to play again the next year, and I had a much better year. And ever since then, I've been pretty in love with basketball.
So he was your first coach?
Yeah, definitely.
Did Moritz Plescher tell you that he attended high school in Akron, Ohio for a year?
Yeah, he did. We talk about that all the time. So I think that's pretty cool. It's, it's a small world.
So did you grow up being a Cavaliers fan when LeBron was still there?
Yeah, definitely. I'm still a Cavs fan today.
I guess. I think it was when they won the championship when you were still there in high school.
Yep. 2016, I think that's when he was there. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Did you attend Cavs games?
I did. Not any of the championship games, but regular season? Yeah, regular season. Yeah.
Uh-huh. How big is your family besides your father? And is anyone else playing basketball? Do you have siblings or...?
I have a family of girls. It's on my dad's side. There's only one other boy, my older cousin. And then on my mom's side, we had some football players, some track athletes, but I think I'm the only person that stuck it out with basketball in my family. But I have a pretty big family. My mother is one of 12.
Wow.
And my father is like one of five. So, and everybody had kids. So I got a lot of cousins.
So you have a lot of cousins, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You went to college in Aiken, South Carolina.
Yes.
But actually your plan was to stay in Ohio at Urbana University.
Yes.
But then COVID happened. Take us through the time of your life.
So the season had ended my freshman year at Urbana and COVID had kind of started breaking out. And we had got sent home from the school for like a couple weeks. And then they shut it down for the year. Like we switched to online classes. And then a few weeks after they decided that, they announced that they were going to be closing the school down permanently after that season. So it was kind of like nobody expected it. Our coaches, nobody like had any idea it was going to happen. So that was a confusing time. But I think it all worked out for me.
So, and then you were looking for another college that is still running a program or?
Yeah. So then instantly I go into the transfer portal and all the coaches have access to like my film and my stats and they see that I'm available. And Aiken was one of the schools that reached out to me and I just felt like that was the best fit for me.
Mm-hmm. During my research, I found an article about you from Aiken during your college days, and there was one sentence about you that stands out for me. I quoted,
okay.
Making the decision to leave home alone could be scary to just about anyone, but his love for basketball ensured him he would find happiness wherever he ended up. This was about leaving Ohio.
Yep.
But does it fit as well for you coming to Germany?
Oh, definitely. I'm a pretty simple guy. I don't need a lot. I'm not much of like a partier or anything like that. So I just enjoy playing basketball. And as long as I get to go home and be at peace, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. What was the biggest culture shock coming to Europe? If there was one. Language, I guess. But
yeah, language. I would say that the stores are closed on Sundays. The stores being closed past like 8 o'clock. I think that was a pretty big culture shock. I'm sure there's more, but that's the only one I can
think of. Yeah, it comes to your mind first.
Yeah, for sure.
I've heard you already picked up some German words. Some of your teammates told me. Can you share what you've learned so far?
Oh, I haven't learned much. Just
don't be afraid.
just some common, you know, greetings and stuff like that. Nothing too much. I know like some slang and some stuff like that, but I'm still getting there.
Okay, I will teach you a German sentence.
Okay.
Okay, we do it step by step.
All right.
So can you pronounce the, like, you know that sound that we have in many words? Okay. Mm-hmm. We start off with Ich bleibe.
Ich bleibe.
Ich bleibe noch ein Jahr.
Ich bleibe noch Ich, nein.
Nein, ich bleibe noch.
Ich bleibe noch.
Ein Jahr.
Ein Jahr.
In Bayreuth.
In Bayreuth.
Now the whole sentence. Ich bleibe noch ein Jahr in Bayreuth.
Say one more time.
Ich bleibe noch ein Jahr in Bayreuth.
Ich bleibe noch ein in Bayreuth.
Ein Jahr.
Ein Jahr. Bayreuth.
Once again, come on. Ich bleibe noch ein Jahr in Bayreuth.
Ich bleibe noch ein Jahr in Bayreuth.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, I take it.
Okay.
You know what it means?
Oh, no, what does that mean?
I will stay another year in Bayreuth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So enough with the German class.
Okay.
You passed.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Do you have another passion besides basketball?
I'm a little bit of a nerd. I play like some chess, Connect Four. I play a lot of board games. I'm pretty competitive with that. Cards, like spades and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I play a lot of that stuff back home. So I would say that I'm pretty.
Have you found some teammates to play with or everybody just into video games? Or
I played, a couple. Louis in chess. I played Marios in chess. And I played Vincent Baker in chess too. Yeah. I'm undefeated.
You're undefeated, so we still have to find someone to beat you. Let's see if we have a grandmaster in our family.
For sure.
Best movie or TV series you've seen last year?
Oh, probably Moritz Pleasure. He put me on to Money Heist. I think that's my favorite.
Uh-huh. Is it on Netflix? Or?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's my favorite.
Favorite music artist?
Probably Drake.
Drake?
Yeah.
Do you have a basketball role model, someone you would love to become?
LeBron has definitely been my fan favorite since I was a kid.
Okay. Yeah, of course you're from Cleveland. Yeah. Stupid question. Of course. How do you see the situation at the Lakers, like making that crazy trade for Luka Doncic?
Oh, man. I didn't expect it. I think it's pretty cool. I think the Lakers will win that trade in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked LeBron and AD, but I don't think that they had enough to win a championship. So maybe this will make
a
difference.
And the Lakers are always looking for the next big player coming to their organization. Let's talk about the current season. I don't have to mention that it's a difficult season for the organization and for the players as well. How does it feel for you as a rookie coming from a successful college program where you were not used to losing a lot?
I think it's an adjustment, and you can learn a lot from losses and the bad times. So I think just trying to stay positive about it and learn from like every mistake, every game, and just try to use that to be better in the future. I think that's been my personal focus this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But how tough was it mentally? I mean, you had some losing stretches where also people from outside tried to criticize the team and so on. How was that?
Well, I feel like, the fans, I feel like we have really loyal fans, and every game, a lot of people come out, and it's not like that everywhere. So I'm just appreciative of them. So, I mean, I feel like they're entitled to, have, their opinion and stuff like that. I try not to focus on the negativity or even the positivity. I just try to stay focused on, the moment and what I need to do to help the team. So for me, I just try to just kind of stay away from social media and that kind of thing and just stay focused on the game.
And you can't read German anyways.
Yeah, that too.
But still, I think it's a good mindset not to be on social media all the time because it drives you crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
So now I have a long question. I tried to read it out.
Okay.
I've watched a lot of German and European basketball for many decades now, and usually there's one pattern you see with all rookies coming from college. They are quite inconsistent, usually. So no matter how talented they are, their performance in their first year has a lot of ups and downs. And in my opinion, you are different, and that surprised me the most about you. So you are very consistent, and we always know what we get from you. What makes you so consistent?
I think it comes down to like it's not just about the game for me. Like my preparation is pretty consistent, like to what I sleep, my treatment, even like what I eat before the game and stuff like that. I think everything is really consistent for me and my lifestyle, and I think that translates to the court for me.
Mm-hmm. I also have an explanation for your consistency. I just wanted to hear yours first.
Okay.
So there are two things. First, you know what you're capable of doing on the court, and you're not trying to do stupid stuff or doing things that don't work out for you during a game. That's the first thing. Second is, you have a bread and butter game. So whenever something doesn't work out for you or you have to rely on something, that's your option. So it's your fadeaway jumper from the paint or close to the basket.
Yes, sir.
And do you focus on these things consciously, or is it just the nature of your game?
I think that I've learned, like, I think one thing I learned in college was that you should always stick to what you do best. And like, I try to only take shots that I work on. Fadeaway is a shot that I've been working on since I was like young in high school. So it's a shot that I'm very comfortable with. So it's definitely like my bread and butter, I would say. So like in doubt, I'm going to try to take the shots that I'm comfortable with. And I feel like I'm going to make those shots at a high percentage.
And I think by relying on your strength, you reduce the errors in your game.
Absolutely, yes.
And that was really very impressive for me for your first year. And
thank you.
I think it will get even better seeing you playing another year here. So.
Thank you.
Let's talk about last weekend before we talk about the next one. You lost two close games. On Friday at Hagen, you played for 35 minutes quite well. And for 5 minutes, sorry to have to say it, horrible basketball. Those 5 minutes, you basically lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday at Bochum, you lost in overtime against a team with a very small rotation. I think you, the team, and the fans know there was at least one win possible last weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the Bochum game, mm-hmm. I think that we lost defensively and with the rebounds. Mm-hmm. I think the rebounding battle is a big part. They got so many more opportunities and possessions to make plays happen. And that is like really demoralizing and hard to handle. So I think we got to clean up there and be better about that type of stuff. And I feel like if we rebound, I feel like we win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Hagen game, I feel like we just got to, I feel like we had a mental lapse during those like 5 minutes. And
it was a 17-0 run.
Yeah. And that's really hard to come back from and stuff like that.
But you came back. That was actually great to see. But then I think it was just energy lacking at the end to turn it around.
Yeah. I think I'm proud of the guys for showing fight. And I feel like we do a good job of, competing and not giving up and stuff like that. But I feel like in that situation, I think it's just we got to stay consistent the whole game and try to clean up on the little lapses.
What do you think? What's missing? Why are you not able to stop those runs, those 5 minutes? Because I at the beginning of the season, you had it more often as a team that you broke down for a couple of minutes. But in my opinion, it got better during the season and now it happened again. Well, is there a solution or...
I think it's more just we're still learning. I think, you know, we watch a lot of film, like with Coach, and he points out to us the things that we cannot allow, we got to get better at. I think with us being younger, and I think sometimes it's kind of tough. So I really feel like we'll get better over time as we continue to learn and get more experience. But I think sometimes that it's the lack of the experience. But I don't want to make excuses or anything like that. But I just think that... just a better understanding and feel like for, you know, just how to avoid those type of mistakes and lapses.
Yeah, we all saw that it was tough for you to close out close games.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, might be the inexperience, but hopefully we will win one close game.
Yeah, for sure.
The best chance is next Saturday. You will play another playoff team, Münster, who was a little bit surprising. They were like on the lower bottom of the league last year, and now they are a playoff team. What has to change in order to finally beat a playoff team at home?
I think it starts with defensive execution. And again, I'm going to circle back to rebounding. I feel like if we can put together a full game of you know, making them make tough shots and, you know, with hard contests and things like that, and us finishing the play with rebounds and not allowing them to get extra opportunities, I think offensively, I think we can play with anybody, especially I feel like if we get stops, we can get out and run. And I feel like that's what we're best at in transition if we can create those situations. So I think that's the focus if we're going to be the playoff team.
How do you see the addition of Kawan? How is he changing the team or the whole concept maybe? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, he's been great. He has I think he does a good job of simplifying the game. Good, simple, easy reads. And he doesn't overcomplicate things. One or two dribbles, pull-ups, and he's a really good shooter. And I feel like he makes really good decisions. I think he's been a good addition to the team, and he just presence, you know, him being an older guy, a veteran, and I feel like that it's been good for us to have.
Yeah, so let's all hope we will see a next home win on Saturday. First of all, Terry, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We're all very happy to have you for one more year.
Yes, sir.
Here in Bayreuth, stay healthy, keep improving, and I'm sure we will even have a lot more fun watching you in the future.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, Terry. Und ja, Bayreuther Basketball-Fans, das war Terry Horn, den wir auch nächstes Jahr hier in Bayreuth noch begrüßen und bewundern dürfen. Samstag, 19 Uhr, Oberfrankenhalle, das nächste Heimspiel gegen die Uni Baskets aus Münster. Kommt zahlreich, unterstützt das Team, denn wir wollen endlich mal wieder einen Heimsieg gegen eine Playoff-Mannschaft dieses Jahr sehen. Insofern bis Samstag in der Halle und bis zum nächsten Mal hier bei BBC Bayreuth Kurzzeit.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von VFM, deinem Versicherungsmakler. vfm-liebig.de
It's BBC Bayreuth Courtside.